Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Pharma Labs Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and that anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From Aarti Pharma Labs, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Chairman, Mrs. Hetal Gogrichala, Vice Chairperson and Managing Director, Mr. Piyush Lakhani, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from Mr. Rashesh Gogri. Post this, we shall open the forum for Q&A, where the management will be addressing queries of the participants. Just to share this standard disclaimer, certain statements that may be made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the investor presentation uploaded on stock exchange websites. I would now invite Mr. Rashesh Gogri to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and a warm welcome to everyone on Aarti Pharma Labs Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. I wish to cover initial thoughts on the performance, evolving market trends, and the outlook. Business: the company operates in API and intermediates, CDMO/CMO, and xanthine-based intermediate business within the pharmaceutical industry. Company focuses on selling APIs and intermediates in the regulated market, and during the last financial year 2022-23, the company had commissioned an additional block in its API manufacturing plant. The utilization ramp-up will happen from this year's H2 in the current fiscal. In CDMO/CMO business, strong scale-up and commercial manufacturing expertise of over two decades is helping us to enhance customer confidence in us, and with its strong chemistry and manufacturing capability, we will continue to look for backward integration opportunities to become China independent. One of the projects estimated to be completed in Q2 of this year is to manufacture the main raw material for xanthine products, which is being currently imported. This will make us completely independent of China in this chemistry. Let me now cover the key performance highlights of Q1 FY24. Our consolidated revenues have declined by 6% to 458 crores, whereas the consolidated EBITDA increased by 6% to rupees 85 crores, and consolidated profit after tax stood at 48 crores, higher by 10% over previous quarter. Now, let me share some of the updates on the projects that commenced operations in recent past. Firstly, we have expanded our xanthine capacity by debottlenecking from 4,000 tons per annum to 5,000 tons per annum, and the work on the greenfield project at Attali, Gujarat, has gained momentum in this quarter, and company expects to complete this project in H2 of FY25. With the current demand outlook continuing to maintain stable, we expect to be on track to meet our guided EBITDA growth of around 10%-15% in FY24, and also are well placed to meet our long-term guidance. Yeah, to conclude, I would like to say that we firmly believe in India's ushering potential within several pharma products, and we will leverage our towering strengths across chosen chemistries with nuanced understanding of the market complexity to deliver robust performance. The ensuing years will see introduction of many high-quality products promised on core R&D competence, which will cement our leadership position in the market and deliver sustained value for our long-term stakeholders. I now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And sir, thanks for this call. I appreciate the interaction with the investors, and we hope this will be consistently done on a quarterly basis, as we have been always doing it with our other group company. And also thank you for the initial commentary and a detailed presentation. Sir, coming to the questions. First of all, based on the presentation which we had also released in June and the current presentation, we have done in last 2 years total capex of about 206 crores. Sorry, total 315 crores and capitalized roughly about 370 crores. So out of this, how much is the growth capex? How much is the backward integration and the balance, something which would be related to environment and compliance related? And you did mention the ramp up will happen in this year. So typically, till the capex which has been done till date, including roughly 38 crores in quarter one, what kind of effect on we can expect on this and what kind of sales could be possible with the amount of capex which has been done till date? That is my first question. And the same thing related to the capex which we are going to complete in the current year, FY 24 and 25. If you could share details on that also in terms of the schedule of completion ramp up and the peak sales that could be possible.
Yeah, so to tell you about this, you know, we will be holding these meetings on a quarterly basis so that we can appraise the investor community about the growth and the status of the company. And as far as your capex questions are concerned, you know, we did spend close to 300 crores in last couple of years, 370 crores, out of which, you know, more than 200 crore went for the growth capex. And we capitalized out of that, we have capitalized around 130 crores for our Tarapur project, where, you know, we are expecting this ramp up to happen over next 1.5 years. So what happens in pharmaceutical industry is that whenever you open up a new block or a new site, you have to do the validation, and then the customers will get approvals, and it has to be added in the CEP or the US FDA, and then you get the approval to sell for those APIs which are moved from our existing block to the new block. So it normally takes around 2 years for the full, you know, ramp up to happen, any expansion then which we put up in the API facility. Similarly, we spend also some capex on enhancing our hydrogenation capacity as well as intermediate capacity in last 2 years, and those capexes have come online. And we expect, you know, more CMO, CDMO projects in this intermediate and hydrogenation manufacturing lines. Normally, our maintenance capex and the other EHS-related capex is around 50 to 60 crores a year. And that's how it is planned. So if we end up doing 200 crore capex or 150 crore capex a year, then 50 to 60 crore will be the capex for this activity, and rest will be for the growth.
Mm-hmm. And the asset turn, sir, on the growth capex?
Yeah, asset turn, typically we are currently looking at 1.5 asset turn. That is what the current run rate is, but we would like to, of course, expand that number closer to 2, but currently we are in that range, 1.5 to 2.
Sir, on the new products you have been talking about introducing roughly about 40 products per year, going ahead with a total basket of 160 products. Can you share some details on some of the major products out of this? Maybe you may name it or not, but what segments they are typically going into? Are these kind of intermediates also for some of the patented products? And I understand from whatever data we have got through RP Industries con calls and the presentations across, that we are into more high-value products, and where our products would sell somewhere beyond $100 per kg or about 10,000 rupees per kg. So going ahead, the kind of product addition which is going to happen, If you could share some more details about that in terms of what segments, what category, and whether the gross margins, which have been hovering around 39%-42% for last 2-3 years, do we expect these new products to be on a much higher gross margin trajectory?
Yeah. So basically, this is our R&D program has normally takes up to 40 products for development, and, you know, out of which, you know, we may not be successful in all the products. Typically, we end up doing 8-10 APIs and balance in the intermediate space, and also we have some CMO, CDMO projects out of those. So that is the product mix of R&D that we do currently. And the, you know, on a standalone basis, if you see, we have more than 50% gross contribution. So I think for understanding, you have to look at the standalone and see how it is moving. And we expect, you know, this 50%, you know, kind of a gross contribution to continue for the future product mix that we-
Yeah, for the product mix.
Yeah.
Sure. That's very helpful. And last one, sir. Xanthine, which was around 40% in FY 2021 and FY 2022, went up to almost 56% in FY 2023, probably due to the rising prices, and higher volumes. And now it is, in quarter one, it is back to around 50%. And API and intermediates are around 43%, out of which CDMO is again 6%. So how do we see this proportion in next 2 years, 2-3 years coming in, to change? And if you could, share the margins in each of this segment or which is the higher margin segment, relatively.
I think, you know, overall, on a quarter-to-quarter, I think the CDMO and the API numbers will keep on changing depending on the products and the orders that we get. Because, you know, essentially the API intermediates and the CMO, CDMO business uses the, you know, same assets, which are shared between both the businesses. And, the CMO, CDMO business is what we are trying to grow, and we expect, by the end of the year, this number to be higher than the 6.3 number, going forward. It depends on how much projects we are able to deliver and... But longer term, you know, we see, you know, API intermediates and CMO, CDMO business, growing, in next couple of years.
That is the higher margin segment out of the three?
Yeah, yeah, that would become a higher margin. Of course, you know, Xanthine margins have come under pressure, definitely than what they were in last 2 years, and that's why you are seeing the dip, despite us producing more quantity in the current quarter.
Just last one, if I could squeeze in, and then I'll come back in case if I have more questions. Exports for us has always grown at a faster rate in last 5 years and also a 12-year period. Exports growth has been roughly around 16% in 5 years, compared to the overall sales growth, which has been a bit lower. And they were hovering around 55-56%. So going ahead, maybe this could be just a quarterly phenomena where this, in this quarter, it is much at a lower percentage, at around 40-42%. But, I, of course, should not be looking on a quarterly basis. But overall, say in next 2-3 years, the proportion of exports will keep growing further more, and also, the export margins versus the domestic, business margins.
Yeah, basically, the way in which we have to look at it is, whether we are supplying direct export and indirect export. So essentially, the products in which we are operating essentially cater to the export market to large extent. And overall, if you see the non-reg market that we cater is very limited. So it could be 15%, 20% only, not more than that. So direct export and indirect export combined, you know, is almost 75%-80% of what we do.
So basically, three of our API plants are USFDA approved, so main focus is on exports.
Sure. Thank you so much, team. This is quite helpful. Wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have a clarification on our segmental business mix. So the FY23 presentation mentions that Xanthine contribution is 57% of revenue. So does the 57% figure include revenue from Ganesh Polychem, RCUS and the chemicals revenue also, or is it purely Xanthine revenue?
Yeah, so this is on a standalone cut of the revenue. So Ganesh revenue is separate. Okay, so of the entire years of 1500 crore approximate sales, 57% was the Xanthine.
Understood. Okay. Second question is on our capacity expansion. So we have expanded capacity at Tarapur plant, Xanthine plant also, and recently on intermediate. And we are also investing heavily in Atali. So the question is, why is our EBITDA guidance only 12 to 17% versus our longer term historic performance of 20% plus? Is it because the EBITDA will grow slower than revenue or is there any other reason?
Yeah, basically what has happened in last 2 years, we had a high growth in the Xanthine overall margins, and that has put us in a high base EBITDA number. So to grow over it for next few years will take, it is still a task. Because overall, you know, what we are trying to do is we are trying to compensate the decrease in the margins by expanding the tonnages of Xanthine derivatives. So that's why from 4,000 tons we went to 5,000 tons, and now we are looking at how we can further debottleneck and expand the capacity of it further, so that we don't impact the overall, absolute number on that. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we are giving a fair estimate, 12 to 17% on overall EBITDA growth. But overall PAT growth can be higher because EBITDA growth is, as you know, that we have reasonable debt, which is not very high. So overall, you know, PAT growth can be higher.
Got it. Fair enough. Can you please provide some kind of guidance for Xanthine API and intermediates and also the chemicals business for FY24 as well as slightly longer term?
I think we are giving you the mixed guidance, and we have not worked out the guidance on each business, because of course, you know, in the current volatile situation in the chemical space, and it's very difficult to give guidance. You yourself know, you know, the way in which the chemical industry is behaving now. So I think what is important is that we have been operating in intermediate space and CMO CDMO space, which is insulated by all this, and where we also cater to the demand of upcoming generic products, intermediates, and where, we don't have this effect of slowness, etc. Because the companies that are our customers are trying to file the Terra 4s or the first to file APIs, taking our intermediate.
Got it. One more question is on our current and sustainable margin trajectory for our different business segments. So if you could provide some color on what kind of EBITDA level or GM level margins are we making across API intermediates and Xanthine and chemicals business separately, and also what kind of margins, sustainable margins would you expect going forward, let's say 2-3 years out?
I think we would be in the range of 20% plus or minus 2, I think, on the overall EBITDA
for
the company as a whole. I think different businesses tend to behave differently on a quarter to quarter, because CDMO, CMO and API are part of the same shared asset. And what happens is that in particular quarter, if we have a higher CMO, CDMO business, then, you know, the margins little bit bump up as compared to the traditional API intermediate business. So it's difficult to do the breakup of this. And of course, in Xanthine, we are trying to augment the absolute number, and we are trying to protect the absolute number to the best of our ability by enhancing the capacity. So that is what we are trying to do now.
Fair enough. And lastly, a couple of questions. On the utilization front, could you share utilization numbers for your facilities like Vapi Intermediate plant, Tarapur API, and Xanthine plant, also the Dombivli API plant? And what is the peak revenue potential from these existing facilities?
So overall, our intermediate plants would operate at around 80% ±5% level. And API plant, because since we have just commissioned this facility, that is operating at little lower per tonnage. But it is a play of product mix. Of course, in our API plant, we have dedicated blocks which cater to the steroids and anti-cancer demand products production, and they have a different operating rates. So it's a bit complex than the absolute number, but it is around the 75-85 range largely for all the activity. Whereas our Xanthine capacity, we try to operate at much higher levels. So 90% is the Xanthine overall operation rate.
Sir, is this the peak utilization or the current utilization?
Typically, we operate 90%-95% on the Xanthine. Yeah. So of a nameplate capacity, we try to operate at a maximum level. And then we can traditional markets, cola markets, and we try to place the product. Because currently, our market share is 15%-20%, so we always have a potential to take that market share away from the competition and place our product.
Got it. And for intermediates and APIs, sir, the numbers you mentioned are the current utilization or the peak?
Yeah. Because we are using our multipurpose plant to do the production, and there are multiple stages that we do. So the changeover times and all that also affects overall utilization of the intermediate plant. Whereas API gave you the explanation about the current ramp-up, etc. So that's why those facilities of newly commissioned block utilization is a little lower.
Okay. Got it. What's your estimate on peak revenue from these facilities?
Peak revenue is dependent on the product mix and what we produce. So I can produce 5,000 rupees a kilo product in the same asset, and I can produce 50,000 rupees a kilo product also in the same asset. And so it depends on the product mix. So what we are trying to do is how do we grow the absolute EBITDA? And I think that is the number that ideally one should focus on. And typically, we like to do more value-added products as far as possible and do lesser and lesser of the lower-value product, low-margin product. So that is how we try to manage overall product mix.
Got it. So just last question on CapEx front. Other than the Attali CapEx of 350 crore-500 crore, are you planning any other CapEx for API intermediates and Xanthine as well in the next couple of years?
Yeah. Yeah. So the 350 crore is the CapEx number for Attali, and 500 crore is the overall CapEx number. So we will be doing the small CapEx of debottlenecking, etc., etc. And time to time, we will evaluate the opportunity and see the current API facility that we have, where we have just put one block there, we have space to put up another three blocks, two to three blocks. So there, we have scope of expansion. So as soon as we feel that now the occupancy is good and we have a potential to put up additional block, then in 15-18 months, we can put up one more block. So and in Xanthine also, we are looking at optimizing and debottlenecking time to time. So that is a thing which is WIP. If we do that, then we'll get back to you in the next few quarters on any change in the CapEx program.
Got it. Thank you, sir. I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Sharda from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. One is on the CDMO and the CMO segment. Could you give some color on what kind of products do you make there and what kind of opportunities you are looking at in terms of, say, product lifecycle or, the, say, the customer type?
Yeah, in CDMO, CMO space, generally we like to operate in phase two and upwards. So basically that is why we have mentioned in our presentation that we are not working on mad chemistry, we are working on scale-ups and, commercialization, the products which have potential of commercialization. So that move from phase two to phase three and then the final approval. So we work in that segment and, we are working with innovators and we are working with the, partners of innovator to supply them with the KSM, RSM for their requirement.
Understand. And currently, how many products would you be making in that segment?
So currently we are doing 16 products have been commercialized and 12 products are under development.
At the innovator level, so they are either in phase two or phase three at innovator.
So it's 12 in pipeline, right?
Yeah.
Understand. And coming to the API segment, again, I mean, any colors will be helpful if you can talk about, say, your key products which are, say, I mean, have meaningful revenue share for you or where you have a significant global market share, either in therapy or whichever way you want to talk about?
So we operate in, steroidal chemistry. We operate in hypertensive and the anti-cancer space. And there we have products where we have strong position. But overall, that thrill segment is big for us and the steroids.
Understand. And how is the product concentration for you in APIs?
Top 10 product would contribute to 60% of the overall sales. So out of the API sales, top 10 product would contribute to around 60%.
Understand. Very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to understand a couple of things on the Xanthine business side. If you could talk about Xanthine market in India, what is the capacity? How is it, in terms of its global market? Is it a very globally traded product? And where is the large capacity concentrated globally? How do we see ourselves competing on the prices, cost of production side? And then what is the relation of Xanthine with our API intermediate and CDMO business? Does it act as a feedstock for making any APIs or intermediates? So, these are my two questions on the Xanthine side. Thank you.
Yeah, so Xanthine derivatives is a class of products which have applications in API and food segment. So there are APIs which are Xanthine. Xanthine is a chemistry, basically, that we do for producing the products which are called Xanthine products. So essentially, these are anti-asthma products and bronchodilator products also constitutes to these Xanthine products. So these can be theophylline, etophylline, caffeine, aminophylline, and host of other products that we produce. And they have pharma application, they have food application, both.
Cosmetics as well.
And cosmetic application also, yeah. So overall, I think we are competing with China and also there is one European manufacturer which is manufacturing Xanthine-based derivatives in Germany. So, and there are multiple manufacturers in China. So as far as the cost of our production of Xanthine is concerned, I think we are at a comparable level of what is being done in China. Of course, they have higher scale than what we are doing, so they may have a scale advantage. So overall cost, other manufacturing cost per kg may be lower in China. But I think on technology front, you know, we are at par with them currently.
Okay, and how is the domestic market for Gentian? Who are the other players? How, what is their capacity?
Yeah, so the domestic market for Xanthine would be around 30% of the total production that we do is scattered.
Lower than 30%.
25-30% is scattered in the domestic market. And essentially, we are the largest player there. I think we have few players who are smaller in this space, and they are not very significant players as compared to us.
And how much segment products are supplied to our API segment?
No,
there is no connection between API and Xanthine in terms of inter supply or feedstock or anything. So Xanthine is an independent product range that we do, and API intermediates and CDMO, CMO. So there are different plants, and three plants operate in API intermediate and CDMO, CMO space, and other three plants operate in the Xanthine derivative space.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, my question was related to that Xanthine business. I see sudden, jump in Xanthine business in FY23 versus FY22 and even in FY22, so from 380 crore to 520 crore and then suddenly 1100 crore. So that, whether my data is right or so there is some disconnect here, or if you could explain.
Yeah, I think there is some disconnect of the data. So the basically the number of 21 is a 9-month number. So I think Piyush will get back to you with the, overall, last year and this year first quarter's numbers, if you want.
Yeah, that would be fine, but I think the 40% of total revenue was in FY23.
So there is a consolidated number, there is a standalone number also, so both these numbers are different. So for example, we have almost 120 crore worth of consolidation which is happening due to our subsidiary and other companies that we operate. So that also skews our numbers. So I think we prefer that if we talk about the standalone number, then the Xanthine number is little under, last year it was 55%, now it is under around 50% for this quarter.
No, so for us, the comparable number, the consolidated would be the, key thing to understand. So if you could, provide us a comparable number exactly for FY22 versus FY23, for the revenue from Xanthine, if this is, and for, this quarter also, just to see. And also that in Xanthine, just I saw that some capacity expansions were undertaken. So what was the quantum of that capacity expansion? So, just I wanted to understand that actually what has been the real growth here in this business?
Yeah, so basically the capacity was enhanced from 4,000 tons per annum to 5,000 tons per annum. So, 1,000 tons capacity addition was undertaken in last two quarters. And in terms of the numbers, if you, I think 58% of last year's top line of 1500 crore was Xanthine. And this year's standalone number of Xanthine is 50%.
So that means this has degrown this year in FY23?
The volumes have increased, but the overall sales prices are lower than the last year. That is the reason why the...
I think we need to calculate the real number. So I think you should get back to you with those numbers.
Sure. Yeah, that was it. So going forward also, what is the outlook here? What kind of growth because xanthine has, you know, diverse uses in different drugs. So for us, it is a little difficult to understand the growth rate. So if you could help us to, you know, about the growth, what growth we can expect in this segment.
So we are utilizing our capacity to almost 90%. So unless we increase the capacity, the absolute number or the contribution won't grow. So we are planning to look at opportunities to further debottleneck, so that overall market we are only capturing 15 to 20%. So there is enough opportunity which is available for us to grow.
So even after expansion, our utilization has reached to that level after 1,000 metric ton addition?
Yeah. So we will be reaching in second half of this year to that level.
Okay.
Because it was just a debottlenecking exercise and addition of some few reactors.
Understood. And who are the other player in this field, if I need to compare peers here? In
there is no listed player. There are China-based companies and also some one player in Europe is operating in xanthine space, which has a comparable or a higher capacity.
So most of drugs based on caffeine is imported, you are saying, or from China?
We are supplying almost 80% of the domestic demand of caffeine. Yeah. Maybe 50% of the customers who have advanced license for export, they may be importing
some of the
APIs. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. Thanks a lot. And I'll talk offline later to understand more.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. So my first question, sir, is that in the presentation and in your outlook, we seem to be very positive on the CMO, CDMO side. So next 3 years, how do we see that 6% contribution going to 15%? Is that something that we are looking at? Consequently, in the earlier calls when we were doing RT Industries call and giving outlook on RT Pharma, we were saying that the incremental products that we are doing in the R&D and commercializing were 25% plus EBITDA margin products. So kind of tying this in, you know, how do we look at the margin improvement from here on?
Yeah, so basically we anticipate the CDMO, CMO business to become a reasonable size business this year. It has a potential to be up to 10% of the 10% or more of the overall business pie that we would have in this year. However, you know, still, you know, it depends on the customer's program and how they are trying to commercialize this product. So we will have to see quarter by quarter how it grows, but overall our pipeline is strong and we anticipate reasonable growth in this segment. Also, you know, we are growing other segments also simultaneously. So overall, I think it will be a mix. Very difficult to quantify the real number, how it will grow. But I think all three businesses are growth areas for us. We are focusing on all three of them and trying to expand overall EBITDA for the company.
Okay. But is it a fair thing to understand that if CDMO proportion grows, overall margin at a company level will get better?
Yeah, overall the endeavor is to grow absolute EBITDA. So for example, we are trying in xanthine segment also by increasing the capacity. How do we enhance, even though the prices are depressed, but still we can make the same or a higher absolute delta. But overall, in terms of top line and percentage EBITDA, number may drop, but absolute number will increase. So,
Okay. And the second question is on Atali. So Atali project, you know, we are saying that Q2 FY25 will get completed. So is this something that we...
Yeah, it is H2
FY25, sorry. So, sir, is this project something, again, we are doing API and intermediates or more of a, you know, CDMO, CMO, where we do more innovative patented molecules and any timeline for then commercializing and scaling up? Is it like 6 months to a year from after everything is complete?
So basically what company is trying to do is we have taken up a 80-acre space in Atali in the Hedge, and we are trying to develop a complex of facilities there. And this is the first phase of development in Atali, where we are putting up 400 KL reactor volume capacity to start with. And we will be handling in API, largely intermediate and CDMO, CMO projects there. But we have capability to handle all kind of products there. And we have EC where we can do APIs also and all kind of. So depending on the opportunity, the Atali, land area would be utilized over next 5 to 7 years for the expansion and growth of company's products.
And sir, largely, like going back slightly in history, so if we look at our company when it was part of, RT Industries, we have grown from 150 crore in FY12 to 1500 crore, very decent 18-20% CAGR. So going forward with this scale, are we looking at similar kind of a growth, or because of the base impact, we're looking at lower growth? Any outlook that you have on that?
We have given the outlook of 12-17% growth. And
but that's EBITDA growth, sir. I'm saying top line.
So top line and EBITDA will move in tandem unless we are embarking a journey to produce something which has a higher EBITDA or a lower EBITDA. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to grow all the three segments, and I think more or less at the similar rate will grow, I think.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for hosting this call. My first question was on the CMO and CDMO segment. We have been in this segment for, more than 15-20 years now, But despite that, the segment hasn't scaled up in a big way for us. And now, from your commentary and, the CAPEX which is coming up in Atali, it seems that this segment, will be one of the bigger growth driver for us. So what had happened earlier that, the growth in the segment hadn't scaled up in a big way for us? And what is changing now that, the growth in the segment is expected to be better than, at least the dentin segment and even the API segment, and it is expected, its proportion in our overall revenue pie will increase?
Yeah, basically, we have not been doing the CDMO CMO for the last 15 years, but what we were doing earlier, we were also looking at medicinal chemistry and, contract development, CDO, we were doing largely at that time. And now the focus really, we did an internal brainstorming and we decided that where is our strength? And our strength is basically in scale up and commercial manufacturing. And that's why we started focusing on CMO business and CDMO business as a combination, and drop the CDO business, complete contract development business, where, we only do the R&D. So we are focusing on the manufacturing side of it, and how do we take up the medicinal process and clean it up and make it scalable and make it commercially
viable.
Most viable for the innovator. So that is the business focus, and I think we have changed this business focus in the last 3-4 years, and we have seeded the products. It requires time. So now we have been working with 14 innovators and big pharma companies, and we would like to add more and more customers, and with same customers, we would like to have multiple projects. So that is what is the strategy of company, and we are working towards growing it.
So the 16 products which we have commercialized, out of which how much would have been launched in the market, and how many will be in phase 2 or full phase 3?
So these 14 products are in the 16 products are in the launch stage with our innovator or big pharma companies, and 12 products which we've mentioned are at the development stage. So we provide them either with RSMs or KSMs or early intermediate stages and for some of them at advanced. So.
Yeah.
So the 16 products are already commercialized and out in the market for
them. They will be commercialized. So, you know, they have taken the, scale of quantity.
Post-clinical level.
Okay. So these are expected to be commercialized going forward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They have commercialized or they will be commercialized. So in that space.
Okay. And if you can broadly talk about, which therapies are these products in, and, which, are we a single source, will we become a single source supplier when this, when they get, final approval from regulators, or, will there be another one or two more suppliers as most of the innovators do in the CDMO space?
Yeah, you rightly mentioned, I think there will be multiple sources. Because the way in which we are gathering the products are in phase two, and I think they already have early phase development partners, so they always remain the partner, or they change, they get one Chinese partner, one Indian partner. So it depends on the strategy of the innovator, how they want to develop and partner with the intermediate provider. And ultimately, some of the companies do their in-house API manufacturing and some companies outsource the API manufacturing. So it is clearly dependent on the each innovator and their strategy, how they want to position their product and how they want to source the raw materials.
Yeah, and these are all multi-therapeutic, so it's not a single therapeutic that we can define.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not like, we are largely in our API segment, we are focused on, cardio and all. So it's not just related to cardio. It can be other products, other therapies as well.
Yeah.
Sure. And out of this new products which are expected to be commercialized, do you have a, pipeline where, or this products can few of them become a big blockbuster products, or these are largely, smaller market size products?
Yeah, I think we would not like to speculate on it. Some products may be dropped, some products. So we will see how it goes, every year.
Every quarter, we are there to give you the update.
Sure. And my second question, sir, was on, our consolidated numbers and, standalone numbers. So there's almost 420 crore of difference between, RT standalone and consolidated numbers. So the entire 420 crore is contributed by Ganesh Polychem, or is there some other subsidiary also in which is there?
No, we have one subsidiary also which is based out of USA. This is Piyush. So okay. The consolidated numbers are 50% of Ganesh is consolidated in the consolidated numbers, and 100% subsidiary number also gets consolidated.
So that is essentially a trading company which is currently being shared between both the companies, Aarti Industries and Aarti Pharma. So eventually, I think those numbers of US trading, which has very marginal profit, will ultimately, once we have a company established for Aarti Industries, I think those numbers will reduce in future.
Okay. So yeah. I was going through an old rating report of Ganesh Polychem, and if you look at the numbers for that JV, that is also doing very well. It is into complex polymer intermediates, and it has scaled up in FY21-22 in a decent way, and margins are also around 19-20%. So if you can briefly talk about this subsidiary and what are the plans to grow, or this joint venture, what are the plans to grow this joint venture going forward?
I think we would not like to do too much discussion about this joint venture because I think we will be sharing, I think, the annual report in our, in the annual report, I think we will have the Ganesh Polychem balance sheet also. It won't be there. Okay, we will have standalone and consolidated. So I think Ganesh Polychem is also doing some intermediates which have this kind of application, and it is largely for medicinal usage of the polymers that go for kidney related dialysis and stuff like that.
Related.
Yeah, related to pharma also. They have end usage. Yeah.
Sure. And my last question was on the API and intermediate segment. In this segment, what is our criteria for choosing a molecule? You know, what we understand is this is a relatively, we normally choose, you know, less competitive and high value and low volume kind of products. So if you can briefly talk about this segment, you know, our criteria for choosing products and, you know, how do you see this segment shaping up for us over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so typically our endeavor is to choose lifestyle drugs, as you rightly mentioned, the high value and low volume which suits us more, and we are focusing on regulated market. So we do our research and understand, you know, what are the APIs which are growing once they are launched, and accordingly match it with our capabilities and you know, how we will be able to market it to our customer base, and accordingly decide on the APIs and intermediate business as well in a similar way.
And we are largely focused on cardio and few other therapies like, you know, anti-asthmatic, anti-cancer.
Lifestyle. Basically, these are all lifestyle chemistries. Anti-hypertensive, anti-asthma, which is steroids, anti-cancer, and some of the CNS, and now we will be having anti-diabetic therapeutic as well.
Okay. And how many of, you know, 50 products that we have, that we have commercialized in this segment, how many of them are we, you know, currently selling on a regular basis, and, you know, how many are we selling in the US market? 40 US DMF we have, but actively how many products are we manufacturing?
So we have 50 APIs which have been commercialized. How many are we selling?
Yeah, so we around 12 to 15
in US, but then, you know, some customers take it in India for US market. So we will have to quantify the number.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then our main focus is regulated. So Europe also we have a very big chunk.
Okay. Any broad breakup between API and intermediates in this 43.6% segment that we that contributed to versus
business? So we would we are not doing the different breakup.
Okay, because what I've gone through the old phone calls of RT Industries, and, you know, intermediate scale up intermediate used to contribute less than 50 crore in our sales, and it had scaled up in a big way in FY 2019-20, and that had resulted in good growth for us.
Yeah, so what is happening is that basically the intermediates that we manufacture also are used for the captive consumption. Okay. So then it becomes an inter sale, and then how do we quantify the number? So that's why we have decided that these API and intermediates are focused towards the generic segment largely, and so that's how, you know, we are giving the now the new breakup of business vertical. So
But do we sell generic intermediates also in the market?
Yeah, we do sell. So the customers that we have is all the large Indian pharma who like to work on a vertical basis, like Dr. Reddy's or Cipla or Zydus or Mylan. All of them would buy intermediates from us, and then they make their own API as an alternative source to the Chinese intermediate. So that is where we pitch in, because all our facilities where we manufacture this product are US FDA approved, and we can support them with the regulatory requirement.
So, and the last question on the Atali CAPEX that we are doing of 350 crores. So, this will be like any broad breakup between CMO, CDMO and API segment, or it will be like we'll be using this capacity interchangeably, or you have any broad breakup, let's say 100 crore, 200 crore goes in CMO and, the remaining goes into APIs.
No, largely we will be using for intermediates and CMO, CDMO. So we won't do a API CMO there. API CMO will be done in the API plant in Tarapur, whereas intermediates and CMO, CDMO projects in intermediate segment will be done there. So it will be largely an intermediate in phase one. We will largely develop for the intermediate manufacturing.
Okay, so this will be largely focused towards that.
Yeah.
So okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rushabh Doshi from Nimiti Investment Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had two questions. Like, firstly, I wanted to understand what particularly changes, after the demerger, in terms of management bandwidth or our supply base or the organizational structure. And my second question was that could you bifurcate the Xantene division in terms of the consumer division, which is beverages or cosmetics, and the pharma division? And you mentioned that you're seeing some pricing pressure here. So in which segment are we seeing the pricing pressure?
Yeah, so basically, essentially, we were running two businesses in the combined RP industries, where we were running the chemical business and the pharmaceutical business. And the pharmaceutical business, we had the separate manufacturing blocks and a separate R&D, separate manufacturing team, and separate management for commercials also. So essentially, after demerger, I think more or less, the operations have remained more segregated. But I think both the companies are able to focus on their business vertical and grow their business significantly. And both companies have different needs in terms of where they should focus and what kind of people they should invest in and stuff like that. So I think this will give more independence to the pharma business to go after more credible R&D and credible CDMO, CMO business. And that's why, we have started a new R&D center, specially catering to the CDMO, CMO business segment. So essentially that, and in Xantene, I think we are not bifurcating the mix because, it's essentially interchangeable. Suppose, if I have a weak demand in pharma usage, then I will push the product into food and cosmetic. And if I have low demand in food, then I will put into pharma. So,
okay. So here I just wanted to understand, are PepsiCo and Coca-Cola the larger clients for us in terms of concentration?
So we have we supply to bigger cola companies, and for confidentiality reasons we do not name them.
Yeah.
Okay. So you I just wanted to see, so you supply to the bottlers or you supply to the main cola companies?
So basically the way in which it works is that different companies have different strategies, and essentially there are concentrate manufacturers and there are direct cola manufacturer. So it depends on the strategy that is being used by each company.
Our product goes in both concentrate.
Yeah, both.
Basically.
Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Piyush Arora from SOIC LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. So my question was, what will be a sustainable margin going forward this year or the next financial year?
Pardon?
So my question was, what will be a sustainable margin going forward this year or the next financial year? Sustainable EBITDA margin?
Yeah, I mentioned about this 20%, near about 20% range, plus or minus 2% would be the sustainable margin range.
Right. And so in this Xantene product, so has there been an element of Chinese dumping which has happened in last 1 or 2 years? Is that the reason why the realized prices?
No, there is no dumping in India from China. We are, managing the Indian market and we have a good market share. So essentially it is an export driven product. So in the world, China was always selling 80% of the market. So they are still catering 80%.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you. All the questions. Best of the questions that we answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Naitik Mohata from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I have a couple of questions regarding the Xanthine segment of segment. So, starting with the raw material backward integration that we are doing for the same, so what is the outlay for the project? And secondly, it would be really helpful if you could explain how it would help in protecting the margins regarding the same.
Basically, we are trying to increase the tonnages to protect the absolute number, you know. And of course, the raw material sourcing, we are trying to do more efficient way so that, you know, overall we are able to maintain the margin. So now with the backward integration that we are doing of the intermediate, you know, we may be able to further consolidate our position as an independent of China manufacturer, and then we can have some savings there also, or improvement in margin there also.
So, sir, this backward integration, once when it kicks in quarter two, will it be sufficient for our entire capacity, or do we need to import a little bit of products from China?
Yeah, we have designed the plant to meet our needs, but of course, you know, we have to operate it, and I think it may take some time for us to reach to the 100% capacity utilization at that for that intermediate.
Okay. Also, sir, if you could throw some light regarding the prices in the Xanthine segment. So I understand that last year we saw some price rise in the same, and now the prices are corrected. So if you could give some ballpark figures, what are the average prices in the segment and what level did they reach last year and what are we seeing now?
So there are multiple products, you know, there are several products which come into Xanthine, and different products have different pricing. So they range anything between 800 rupees to 1500 rupees. So I think difficult to give a real breakup. I think you can see the trade data to check the pricing.
Okay, so last question from my end would be, in the Xanthine segment, out of the total production, how much is for export and how much is for domestic?
Yeah, it is presented, export would be around 70%?
No, 54%.
Then export will, India demand is also there. So I think 50-60% is export and then balance is in domestic.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tanika Agarwal from Green Portfolio Private Limited. Please go ahead. Tanika, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Sir, I would, if you can provide us with some guidance regarding the R&D expenses for FY24.
Which expenses?
R&D expenses. We are in the range of 35 to 40, 10 crores per quarter on R&D.
Okay. And so with such kind of R&D expenses, like how many filings are we expecting for the year?
No, so basically we are not doing ANDA filings. So basically we have the USDMF number. So every quarter, you know, as the numbers move up and down, you know, we'll be changing the number. So you can see the number of DMFs filed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you can give like a number for FY23, how much were the filings?
40 have been filed in total. I think we would have filed 5 or 6 in FY. So I think we'll get back to you with the number.
Yeah. All right, so no issues. And so when looking at the revenue, like it is down on a quarter-on-quarter basis, both at the consolidated as well as on standalone level. So how has been the sales volume there?
So the revenue has been basically lower on account of, you know, overall prices have corrected. But our raw material costs have also corrected. So in a way, we have grown the EBITDA. I think the line is bad. Basically, overall, you know, you have to concentrate on the absolute EBITDA number, whether it is growing or not growing. And I think we are in the, you know, that number has not degrown. It's just a minor, you know, product sales. It depends on whether you are shipping the innovator order or the particular intermediate order in particular quarter or the next quarter. So that's why you also have to look at the inventory adjustment and all that. So post that, I think we are stable and we will have those inventories which have increased will be sold in next coming quarter.
Okay, so understood.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Hi, I would like to thank all of you for joining our conference call. Thank you, BC.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.